I think it helps me like slow down at some level. Like I feel like if you're caught up in running every day, some people just run themselves into the ground or don't really leave room for recovery.
DizRuns Radio episode 558 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to DizRuns Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just want to take a minute and not do a sponsor today. Don't have a sponsor, not even going to do a big sponsor push for myself. Instead, just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you continue to do for me and support me and hopefully, you know, by continuing to do the show and some of the other things that I've got going on, I'm paying you back in such a way. So, obviously with the book launching, a few weeks ago, that's gone incredibly well. I just appreciate everybody who's grabbed a copy. Whether it's whether you pre-ordered, whether you got it during the opening weekend, whether you've grabbed your copy since then. Just thank you. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for the thoughts on the book. Hopefully, you'll find it very helpful. And then as it relates to the show, thanks for the support there with the reviews and the shares and telling folks and suggesting guests and just appreciate you guys. So that is it for today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now let's go ahead and dive in, shall we, to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today is going to be a lot of fun because I really think that we are going to have way more things to possibly talk about than what we will ever actually have time to discuss today, which I suppose is a good problem to have as a podcast, right? Among other things, my guest today is a blogger, foodie, science nerd, and a health and fitness nut, and no doubt that those topics will give us plenty of conversational fodder. So without any further ado, it is time to finally be able to welcome Miss Lauren Sicerco to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Lauren. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, certainly. It's my pleasure. And guys, if you aren't already connected to Lauren and kind of know some of the stuff that's going on in her world, there's a whole host of ways to do so. The blog, the website is breathedeeplyandsmile.com. And on Instagram and Facebook, the handle is the same both places. And it aligns beautifully with the blog URL. It's just at breathedeeplyandsmile. And on Twitter, saving a few characters, which is always a good strategy, it's at Breathe Blog, BREATHEBLOG. We'll have everything linked up as we always do in the show notes, which you can find at dizruns.com/558 for this particular episode. So, Lauren, now that we got all of that, the housekeeping chores out of the way, it's time to kick off the conversation with the same question that everybody gets, and you know it's coming. It's not going to be a surprise for you, but I'm just curious to know kind of what your answer is to the introductory question and see where it takes us. And that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
To answer this question, I always say half marathon, but I think what I truly like to run is a 10 miler. Because after about 10 miles is where the half marathon, I want it to be over, but we'll say half marathon since I guess that's my real answer. I think it's just a really fun distance and I don't feel too banged up afterwards, like a marathon. And it's enough to be like, they're challenging for sure. And I think after some of my racing this spring, I want to kind of go back and train for a half marathon PR. And I know that's going to be painful, but I think it's like a fun distance. It's enough to like rope some other people who aren't like huge runners into it with you. And it's not going to make me feel too terrible.
Yeah, the recovery process after, even like you said, even if you're going to push hard and go for the PR, yeah, it's going to hurt a bit, is still a lot less than trying to hammer it out for a marathon or something like that.
Yeah, and I actually raced a 5K last month, and I wasn't planning on racing, but this Shamrock 5K in Baltimore starts with a downhill, so everybody goes out fast, and there's people just passing me, so then I was like, okay, we're doing it, and I was racing with my friend, and then, like, both of us were not talking, but, like, I think it was them, like, well, I'm not going to be the one to drop back. So it ended up being a race and ended up tying my PR. And I was like, oh, this was terrible. It was like a sprint. And I felt terrible the whole time. Just like, waiting for the miles to tick by and get to that finish line. So,
and that is exactly why. Yeah, that's exactly why I'm not the biggest 5K fan. I'd rather you know, kind of grind and have that slow hurt for, you know, 26 miles as opposed to just go all out for 3.1. It's just such a different animal.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not going to let you just gloss past that 10-mile comment that you made there. Do you have a chance to run 10 miles often? Because it's a race that I've done a couple of times, and it's like you, it's a distance that I think is a lot of fun. But in my area, there's not a lot of opportunities for running 10 miles. Do you have the option to get in a few 10 miles every once in a while?
I think so, but I think because they're not very common is why that I always say half marathon is my favorite.
Right.
I don't know why. I mean, there's actually this upcoming weekend in Washington, D.C. is the Cherry Blossom 10 miler, which is a really famous and old event. I've run it a few years. They've gone to like a lottery method, but I know they've been around for like over 40 years as a race. So that one's fun. And then Baltimore actually has its own 10 miler. It's always in June. So I've never run it because I've been racing something else. / it's always in really nice, hot and humid June day, which maybe would be less fun than I'm thinking a 10 miler would be and it also has a lot of hills. But so there's actually an opportunity. Maybe I'll do the 10 miler here in June, but we'll see. But yeah, it's not offered that much, but like, I feel like it's a great distance because once I'm like get to 8 and I'm like, oh, only 2 more miles to go. Sweet. Versus a half marathon where I get to like 8 or 9, which is where I'm starting to like either struggle or like get a little antsy mentally. Mm-hmm. Then I've still got a chunk of the race to go.
Yeah. It's one of those where 10 miles is close enough that it doesn't sound like much of, you know, if you do 10 mm-hmm. miles, just do a half marathon. There's more of a whatever, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it's like any race. I mean, you know, when you're racing, whatever the distance is, like your plan is to go to that distance. So you're pacing accordingly. You're prepared mentally accordingly. And yeah, I would be a fan of more 10 milers, but it's just, I guess half marathon has a better ring to it. So people tend to push towards that, and that continues to grow. And there's always more half marathons, which is great. But wouldn't mind seeing a few more 10-mile races pop up in various places around the country, because it seems like kind of the Mid-Atlantic Northeast between Cherry Blossom, between Broad Street. I know there's always some in New York. You said Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, there's a few more in that neck of the woods. But you know, it seems like at least down here in the Southeast and Florida and stuff like that, there you can find them, but they're hit and miss, and you really got to kind of be looking. And they're not as accessible, I think, as they are for maybe some other folks.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you get started in the sport? Is running something that's always been part of your life, or where did you get started?
I feel like in a roundabout way, it kind of has. When I was growing up from like age 8 through 18, I played soccer, recreational club, and I was on a travel team in high school. And I had a coach, especially in high school, who always, you know, it was like, okay, we're doing suicides, we're doing sprints. And I was like fastest or second fastest on the team. And I get playing soccer, did a lot of running. Also played like basketball and like a lot of sports. So never a runner. I don't know. Didn't know anybody that ran, was never in high school. Like had friends that were like doing cross country or track. So mm-hmm. didn't really get into it until after college when I decided I wanted to shed a couple of my college pounds put on by years of eating chicken fingers and fries at the dining hall. And I decided to hop on the treadmill at my apartment complex's gym. I don't really remember like the thought process up to then, but I think it was just like, oh, I'll go to the gym and like hop on the treadmill because that's like what people do. And I remember running like just over a mile and I was like, yikes, that was really hard. So I made it a goal that was in the summer of 2011. I made it a goal to run a 5K. Again, I didn't have any friends that ran or like did races. And I don't know if it's just because I was just getting into running, but I feel like the running boom was like happening after that, at least for what I've noticed. But again, now I'm immersed in like the running bubble. So maybe not. But after that, it just kind of snowballed. It was like, okay, 5K, like that felt cool. Like then I did, that was in October. I did my first 5K of 2011. And then December I did a 5-miler. The next spring in 2012, I actually did the Cherry Blossom 10 miler, which was like my longest distance so far. And then once I got to 10 miles, I was like, oh, well, you can do a half marathon.
Right.
So I did half marathons back to back in September and October. And then like after that first half marathon, I was hooked. So I've been running ever since then.
Gotcha. It's always kind of interesting to me how people come to it and how long it takes them to get hooked. So it sounds like it took you about a year. And I know some people, it can take, you know, what it can be a hot and cold thing for years before they get into it. That first year, though, it sounds like it was pretty smooth sailing. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, I mean, it's really true. I just kept picking longer races and then just trained up to that. Like I said, I didn't know anybody who ran or anything, so it was pretty, now I can go back and laugh. I have like one picture from my first 5K, but like just thinking about like some of the stuff I ran in like that first year, like I was like, oh yeah, this like cotton shirt, even like a cotton wicking shirt. There's a picture of me after that cherry blossom, and like it was like a Nike wicking cotton shirt, but like clearly didn't do that much wicking because I'm just like covered in like sweat mm-hmm. splotches, and I was just like, oh man, that was a poor choice. And I just like went to my local running store and like had got fitted for a pair of shoes, I think maybe after the 5 miler. I don't know what I was running in before. I guess something, I had like some sneakers that were just like knocking around. But like, yeah, I just got fitted. I was like, I don't know anything. Started reading some like running blogs to figure out like, I don't know what I should be doing, and like finding a training plan online and just like running around. So, it's pretty cool that it started out as something like just for me, and that it's kind of, even though I include a lot of other people in my running and do a lot of different things with running, that it's still kind of something like just for me. And like, it quickly became not about like losing a couple pounds or like, I don't know, doing something because I didn't want to do it. Like mm-hmm. running's always been just kind of like something I wanted to do and stuck with. And now it's like my thing.
How competitive are you with your running? Because I'm kind of going to assume that at least at the beginning, it sounds like there was that little bit of competitive, like, I'm going to keep going a little bit far. You know, I did a 5K, mm-hmm. now a 5 mile, and kind of keep creeping up. Is that accurate, or am I reading something in it that's not there?
No, I think definitely it's just like probably my favorite thing about running is that it's just like you're always competing against yourself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's always room to get better. So I was definitely competitive. I think now looking back and after, you know, reading about stories of other people and talking to other people, I'm kind of like, damn, like I wasn't like half bad when I started. Like my first half marathon was like a 1:49 or something. And I know people like just trying to break 2 hours. So I'm just mm-hmm. like, oh man, I wish I didn't set the bar so high sometimes. But yeah, like I guess I was competitive, but I didn't really know like what was fast for like an amateur or anything. So it was really just about myself and like, yeah.
Gotcha. So as you kind of can, you know, you got your running got its hooks into you there after about a year and kind of kept building, growing from there. And without trying to fast forward through too much, we'll kind of let the cat out of the bag that as we're recording this, you know, you're a couple weeks away from running Boston. When did trying to qualify for Boston and run the race, when did that become a goal? Was that something that happened early, or it take a couple of years to kind of start to have, you know, put that on your radar, or where did that that desire come from? Because I know it's something obviously a lot of runners share. So where did that seed get planted for you?
Yeah, it's funny if you ask like, oh, like did you like about like speed and whatever, because, you know, like I don't know, I feel pretty modest. Like I feel like on the faster edge of like amateur runners, but still I'm like, I'm pretty modest about it, and people are like, oh, like you fast? I'm like, oh, I'm okay. And then like somebody else will chime in, oh, but she's running Boston this year, and then everybody's like, oh, okay, so you're like kind of fast. But yeah, I think it actually happened, so I ran those my first two half marathons in September and October of 2012, and I don't know, I wish I had like been blogging then. Actually, mm-hmm. I had just started after my first half marathon, but not a ton. Because the second half marathon I ran was the Baltimore Running Festival half in October. And I decided the next year in 2013, I was going to run the full marathon there. I don't know. I guess I was feeling really confident that like, yeah, okay, I can do a marathon. Mm-hmm. Even before I like knew people that ran marathons or felt like, I don't know, felt the marathon craze. I feel like that is going on right now, at least among people I know that get sucked into running. Mm-hmm. It was something I never thought I would do. Like I was never like, oh yeah, my bucket list, like I'll just run a marathon, like, you know, once. Yeah, so I did that, and I knew when I crossed the finish line, I was like, I can run Boston, which is bold, but I had a – my first full marathon was really good. I hit the time I wanted to get. There were definitely some, like, terrible moments, which I feel like happens in a lot of marathons I've run, where, I mean, it was painful. And all of that stuff that people say, I didn't feel as much. Like, my training was pretty smooth. And then I got – and the Baltimore full marathon is actually pretty hilly in the second half, which is a poor design. No, it's a fun race. But for, like, running for my first marathon, like, it was smooth sailing. And then, like, get to mile 16 and I'm like, oh, gosh. Now there's just –
you start getting a little cocky and all of a sudden they throw a couple hills at you. And it's like, what the hell's going on here now?
I was like, I'm feeling great. And then I was like, oh, no. Oh, pain fest. Like, I'm done. But I'm going to keep running to get to the finish line because it's a long walk back.
Right.
So, yeah, after I did that, I had run my first full marathon in 3:45. So I knew I had to get under 3:35. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I could shave off 10 minutes if I trained a little bit more advanced. I felt like I could, and that it was now a bucket list item that was definitely, you know, within reach. Mm-hmm.
How difficult was it to shave off those 10 plus minutes? Because, you know, it's one of those things, and obviously depending on where you are, 10 minutes can be a 10 minutes is always an achievement. You know, don't mean to get that twisted, but, you know, like I ran my first marathon in 5:20 or something like that. I had no idea what I was doing, totally unprepared, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You know, so to shave 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour off of that, an achievement, but you know, it's, I feel like it's a little different ball game when you're getting into sub 4 hours. So you get approaching 3:30, like now you're really, you know, it's hammering it the entire way, as opposed to maybe being able to cruise a little bit more or whatever. So, you know, to say, all I got to do is take off, you know, quote unquote, all I have to do is take off 10 minutes is one thing, but was it a difficult process or did those 10 minutes fall off pretty, I don't want to say easy, but was it fairly easy for you to knock those 10 minutes off and get that BQ?
Yeah, it's funny you describe it that way because I was actually writing up a blog post for another brand this week, kind of talking about my running journey because I'm doing a giveaway before the Boston Marathon in less than 2 weeks. And I was just like, I feel like also part of my, like, I don't know, feeling humble, which I feel like the more I say that I'm humble makes me seem not humble. But
like, I swear, like, I'm a really humble person, but listen to all these cool things I'm doing.
Oh, I didn't have that much time to take off. Like, I know people who have had so many, like, such a longer journey or had to shave off so much more time. But like you said, it was fairly easy, but there are bumps in the road because with a marathon, you never know, at least for me and some other people I've talked to, you never know how it's going to be that day. Mm-hmm. Like I've had training cycles where it's been great and I'm like pumped. I did everything right. And like either the weather that day or my legs start cramping up, even though they've never cramped up at mile 13 mm-hmm. on the past 12 to 16 weeks of training, or just, I don't know, it's not your day and it's going to be a long 26 miles. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was fairly smooth, but there were definitely bumps in the way where I didn't get there as quickly as I thought I would. So after that first marathon in 2013, I ended up running the Chicago Marathon the next 3 years in a row, partially because I fell in love with the race and I really, really liked the city of Chicago. After going there in 2014, that was my first visit to the city, and I spent like a whole week there total, including more days after the race where I could actually enjoy myself a little bit more. And it's a super flat course. So I feel once I ran it once, I was like, okay, I had gotten down to 3:36 in 2014, which is a big accomplishment for me. Also a flatter course than Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But that was like, it was kind of killer because I was so close that I was just a little disappointed.
Right. You'd almost rather have only knocked off 4 or 5 minutes and been like, all right, I got halfway there as opposed to being 1 minute off.
Yeah. And I think that was the year, I think I was sick that year, which was also like one of those things that you can't control.
Right.
It Yeah. Was that the year I was sick?
Yeah. Fact checker.
I know. No, that was the year it was warm. Just kidding. So that year it was warm there, and Chicago, there's not a lot of shade, and not excuses, but like I just felt like no matter how much water I kept drinking, it was just way warmer than what I'd been training in. So that was a killer year. So then I came back to Chicago because now I'm like, this is a flat course. Mm-hmm. I know it. This is where it's going to happen. And then in 2015, I think was the year that I was sick.
So another thing out of your control, weather, sickness, all these things that can crop up, and it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah. And it's just like, whatever. One of those years it was warm, one of those years I was sick. Right. And in 2015, I ended up getting a BQ of like 20 seconds, which also in this day and age of the Boston Marathon is killer because I knew it wasn't enough. So, you know, when I crossed that finish line, it was like good. It was like, yay, a little PR and a BQ technically, but it was difficult to explain to people who aren't runners or who don't know about Boston to be like, yeah, I got my Boston qualifying time, but like, I'm not going to be able to run.
Right.
And they're like, why? And I'm like, it's really popular. Now you need to be minutes under. I know. It's confusing and stupid. So then in 2016, I think it's good. I say third time's a charm with Chicago because I ended up having a great year and ran a 3:27 and change and big PR for me mm-hmm. on the same course. And like, I don't know, it's partially probably rose tinted glasses because I look at it as a day where during the marathon, I felt pretty good the whole time.
Yeah.
Like the last like 6 or 7 miles are always going to be like painful, mm-hmm. I think. But like, I felt so good. And I remember like being at mile like 17, 18, 19 and being like shocked at how good I felt. Cause you're kind of like, I kind of had changed my mental game that year, which I think really helped me. Instead of like anticipating the wall and like the pain fest and being like, when's it coming? It's going to come. Just trying to stay relaxed and comfortable and say that like repeating mantras to myself mm-hmm. and telling myself that like, you're going to be fine. You might not be in pain. You're not going to hit the wall and kind of change my mindset. So I think it was good that I ended up having that journey of 3 years of the Chicago Marathon, mm-hmm. third time's a charm, and finally getting my time. And then it's also confusing to people to tell them that I qualified at the end of 2016 and am not running it until 2018.
Right.
Because everybody was asking me last year if I was running, and I was like, no, it'll be next year. I know it's confusing.
Yeah, just the ways the dates fall. Even people that are within the running world, pretty mm-hmm. heavy. It still can be, and then the age of like, you know, because I've had clients before where they're like, oh, you know, I'll look for it. You know, I'll really try to BQ next year because that point I'll be old enough. But it's like, no. Mm-hmm. It's how old you're going to be on race day. So you're actually, even though you're you know, whatever, you're 39 now. You're still qualifying at the 40 cutoff or whatever, however that works out. So yeah, mm-hmm. there's all those little technicalities and loopholes and BQ, but not enough of a BQ that it's crazy. But certainly, you know, congratulations, well done. And by the time this airs, you'll already have finished the race and you know be probably working on those recap blogs and telling everybody about the race and how it went. But curious to know what are you looking forward to most about being up there, you know, getting to Boston, running the race, everything that's associated with that event and that weekend.
I know. It's really excited. It's really exciting. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking forward to most. I actually went up and spectated the race in 2014. My friend was running it that year, and that was the year after the bombing. So it was actually a really special year to be up there. Right. With like Meb winning and everything, and the weather was, I think, warm for runners, but good for spectators. Mm-hmm. So that was like really magical. So I think I'm most looking forward to like actually running the course. I'm running it just for fun, which is, people laugh when I say that. Non-runners laugh when I say that. They're like, oh, you're going to run a marathon for fun? And I'm like, yeah, I just actually want to enjoy it. I'm not going for another BQ or a PR. I want to soak up everything about it. And honestly, I'm just like mostly excited to be around like other excited runners, mm-hmm. which is like the run nerd in me talking. But like, I'm excited to like be on the bus out to Hopkintown and Hopkinton and be like hanging out with other runners and talking about races and running and other marathons and where we qualified and just like soak up all of that run love.
Yeah, no, that's I mean, the whole thing is crazy. It's such an obviously a big event. I know a lot of folks and myself included will be, you know, kind of having the plans to hang out and watch the race on TV and all that mm-hmm. good stuff. I'm glad you asked or glad that you mentioned that the plan is to run it for fun, because that's always a question too for first time mm-hmm. Boston people, because that's my plan. Whenever I get old enough and fast enough that the lines merge on the graph and I'm able to qualify for Boston, you know, when I run it, it is going to be, I am taking my sweet time. Like, I am in no rush, you know, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. however long it takes, stopping for fives and photos and the whole nine yards. I'm just going to have a blast. And, for whatever reason, most people I talk to, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm planning on pretty much racing it. And, you know, if things aren't going well, then I'll back off. But I'm just like, man, I don't know. For me, like the journey or the big goal is to qualify. And once that happens, then it's smooth sailing when you get to Boston. So I'm glad that I'm at least on the same page with one other person that I've talked to that's looking forward to their first Boston
Yeah,
experience.
For sure. I mean, I see it as my victory lap. That's what mm-hmm. I keep telling people. I'm like, I did the hard work and like busted my booty to get like a fast PR and BQ. So like, I mean, I've had a lot of other things going on in my personal life too, that I felt like I haven't been able to 100% commit to like a serious training cycle anyways, but like mm-hmm. this is my like, I did it, I qualified, and I'm just gonna enjoy it and enjoy this race and really soak up all of it instead of staying hyper focused kind of on right. a time goal, which I feel like if I have a time goal, I'm kind of a little bit more laser focused and not soaking in as much of the environment or the race environment and people as I would be. I don't want to be like looking at my watch and checking my splits and getting anxious, you know, when you're like seconds over, like where you should be right. or whatever. I don't want it to be, I want it to be as stress-free as possible as a marathon can be.
Right. And what better race to just, you know, not care, you know, mm-hmm. than a big race like this that is, I mean, it not only is it, you know, just the history of the race, but you know, the fact is, and that, you know, from Spectate in 2014, you know, it's a big to do in the air. Like, there's going to be all mm-hmm. kinds of spectators, all kinds of people out. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to talk bad on anybody who's planning to ever race it, but like, if there's ever a quote unquote race to not race, I feel like Boston's, for me at least, is going to be it. Like, that's the one to just, you know, 4 hours, 4.5 hours, three, mm-hmm. whatever it takes, doesn't matter. Like, just cruise and enjoy yourself and have a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
So one thing that you mentioned when it came to qualifying for Boston that I want to just go back and at least probe and see if there's anything else there, but the shift in the mindset of instead of going, oh, you know, eventually this is going to happen, eventually I'm going to hit the wall, is the struggle is going to come and you know, I got to deal with this, you know, when it gets here, to that change in mindset, that with the mantras and maybe thinking a little bit more positive, that maybe, you know, I feel good, I feel strong, I'm going to do this. What brought that about? Was that something that you'd been working on for a while? Was it something that was kind of you know, Because the mental, the reason I ask is that the mental aspect is something that I continue to struggle with and I'm getting better at, but always looking forward to or looking for opportunities to learn from others who have kind of turned the corner mentally, where it's still an area that brings me down. So how did you, you know, what brought about that change in focus, that, you know, whether or not that was 100% the reason that you qualified, certainly it sounds like it played a role in helping you to get through those tougher miles and you know, not only squeaking by, but really, you know, blowing the BQ standard out of the water for yourself.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of a few different things. One, obviously, like I said, it helped that this was my third time running Chicago, so I was already very comfortable with like the logistics of the race. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, like when any big race, when you're traveling from somewhere, we were staying at like the same place. I knew like how the expo was going to be, how the race morning was going to be set up. I mean, I'm kind of an anxious person, so there's always a little bit of anxiety, and especially now with bigger races with like security, and they were doing bag checks at Chicago and like getting in line for that. But kind of knowing the layout, knowing the course a little bit, can put me at ease a little bit. Also, at the time I was still in graduate school to get a degree to become an occupational therapist, and a lot of times in that profession, we talked a lot about mental health, and using things like meditation and positive thinking with clients. So I think like some of that, which I've always been interested in and, you know, tried to use in my own life, but not really. I kind of got more into that. So I think that played a part. And also third, for this race, I kind of had a, you know, training plan that kind of worked for me that I tweaked over the years. From my initial marathon, I trained in a training group. So I kind of took that plan and have tweaked it. I ended up talking to a running coach just to see. I was like, maybe there's something I can be doing different to really get me that big PR. So I ended up talking with Coach Suze of Suze Life.
SuzeLife.com. Yep, yeah. Give her a plug.
So like I told her, I was like, listen, like I don't really need you like emailing me every week, like all that. Like, here's my plan. Like, what are your suggestions? And then we talked before the marathon and she was like, let's talk about your race plan, which is also something I'd never really done. Like I'd kind of just had like a, we'll say like a loose plan. Right. So, she talked about, you know, changing my mentality too, throwing in some faster strides, taking an extra drill amount around like mile 12 and a half, 13 to give me an extra boost, which is when I usually, you know, get some anxiety that like, oh God, I'm only halfway. Like, where am I feeling? Like, how am I feeling? And just kind of, breaking the race up and keeping that mentality that I'd been leaning towards of just staying comfortable and feeling like you're going to be fine. Like throw in some faster strides, like feel like your legs aren't like getting heavy and just like stay positive. And she was like, get to, you know, breaking up the race and get, once you get to mile 20, like everything you got left in the tank, like you're going to use it. Mm-hmm. And so like, I kind of had that point of like, once I get to 20, I'm going to feel okay. And I'm going to be able to give everything I got. So I think like talking to her and like the other things I mentioned really helped me kind of just change my thinking, which is really hard. And it's hard when you're running and you are, you know, feeling some pain, feeling some discomfort. It's really hard to just, and you've got miles to go to, and you're like worried. You're like, maybe, am I not taking in enough hydration? Like, am I going to hit the wall? All of the plans I followed, while trying to get my VQ went up to like a, at least 122 miler, but still four more miles on top of that, especially at your race pace the whole time, is hard. So my mantra, this race, I kept repeating to myself personally and sometimes out loud, cause I don't really care in a race. Some people think I'm crazy, was I am comfortable. I am strong. So I kept thinking, you know, you felt like crap last year. Like you feel good. You're comfortable. Like look at your breathing. You're fine. So I think really repeating that, helped me actually feel that way in positive thinking. And it reminds me of like that study that came out like a little bit ago that said, like, if you smile, like it's actually going to help you feel better. And I think I like totally believe in all that. It's a little hippy dippy, like positive vibes and positive thinking, but I think it really works. And like, if you're telling your brain, like, I'm okay, you might feel more okay.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, similar studies that I've seen too, that like it sounds hippy dippy, but they've shown that like by having that smile, like the pain receptors in your mind, you know, are decreased sensitivity. So, you know, even if it's a fake smile, even if it's a forced smile, there's something about that smiling action that, it really does kind of make things hurt just a little bit less, which, you know, at mile 22 or mile 24 of a marathon, like you can hurt a little bit less. That's pretty good. Like that's winning right there and allowing you to keep pushing forward. So yeah, it's not always easy to remember. It's not always easy to force yourself to smile when you're in the middle of a hard workout or at the end of a long, hard race. But if you can do it, whether it's, you know, fake and plastered on or not, odds are it's going to help you a little bit. So it's a good thing to keep in mind. So, shifting gears just a little bit, Lauren, although not completely out of the health area, the health and fitness area, but kind of maybe just a little bit less of focus on running. One of the things that I noticed and looking at your website, and following you on social media is that, you know, and like we said in the intro, kind of a health fitness, not beyond just running. So obviously running is important to you. Running is something that you enjoy doing, but, I know you said that you do, you know, a good bit of like November Project type of stuff and some other types of exercise. Has that also been long been part of the routine, or is that something that's come on a little bit more recently?
I think it's been a fairly recent, but everything kind of all seems relative to me. I've been doing November Project for I think like 4 years now. So, like I said, I did, before I started running, I didn't know anybody who ran. And then once I ran my first marathon, like I said, I trained with a group at a local running store because I was like, I can't do this by myself. And especially just kind of double that distance, the longest distance that I'd done. So that kind of got me into running with other people. Mm-hmm. And was the first time I kind of like made some friends and people I'm still friends with. There's a lot to talk about when you've got, 18 miles on the right. docket for the Saturday morning. So you kind of get everybody's life story, which is kind of like a fun thing I've found about runners. They're pretty open, especially when you're running. Mm-hmm. And stuff, personal stories and things just kind of come out. So November Project had been in Boston for a minute by 2014, but actually Jonathan Levitt from Boston had emailed me. I'd seen like them in Runner's World by that time, and I was like, oh, that seems really cool, but like it's not here. And they had just started a tribe in like November, and then I ended up showing up in February, and now that's kind of been a big part of my life and my fitness life ever since. And I guess kind of from that slash just like meeting more people who were into health and fitness and running, I just ended up trying a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Also in 2013, when I started training for my marathon, I moved into downtown Baltimore instead of like on kind of like the outskirts of the city, more in the suburbs. So I think really being in a city environment lended itself to me trying a lot more things. There's a lot of fitness studios, lots of groups, lots of health and wellness minded people in Baltimore, actually. So I think just trying out a lot of stuff, getting connected with people, and being open to, going to different events, free classes, places, kind of really opened my mind and my horizon to like the other possibilities out there for like cross training and other fitness endeavors.
Gotcha. Do you think that, do you think that doing some other things beyond just running, has impacted / helped your running improve as well? I guess I'll just ask that and we'll see where that takes us.
I would say personally, I think so. I kind of go back and forth on that. I mean, even like a few weeks ago, I was just freaking out because my training is not that great, even though I'm just running for fun. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like, you see other people's weekly mileage. And when you read about, especially for the marathon distance, people are like, you got to be running more miles, getting this weekly mileage, that's going to get you faster, which I believe to some extent, but I also think it depends on the person. I know for me, like, I like a lot of variety. Mm-hmm. Especially in my fitness life, it's a little bit hard sometimes because I want to do everything and I can't. There's only 7 days in a week, so I right. can't do I can't run 4 days a week and do yoga and lift and do whatever. So that's a little bit hard, but I think it definitely has helped me. I think it helps me like slow down at some level. Like, I feel like if you're caught up in running every day, some people just run themselves into the ground or don't really leave room for recovery. And I think also just using your muscles in a different way, especially my legs, if I'm in a class where I'm doing squats and things, that's going to be helpful for strengthening those muscles instead of like that kind of same motion for running, which is where people, I think, get into trouble because it's just such a repetitive, mm-hmm. it's a repetitive motion. And that's where like a lot of the injuries come from because it's just the same constant pounding. So I think mixing it up has been physically helpful for me and also just mentally. Like with November Project, there is like some competitive aspects and people trying to get better and, going hard in the workouts, but it's also like a lot of like silliness and fun and like constantly reminds me to keep things fun. Like today I went to a workout, and we did a pretty tough workout. And then at the end there was like, it was a bizarre relay, but where you were like partnered up and you each took off a shoe and then you were like laying down and like they said go and you had to like try to grab the other person's shoe, and whoever got the shoe like one and held a plank while the other person did a lap in your shoe, which is just like, which is just like silly, but it was like a fun way to end like a tough workout and just remind me that like, this is all like, it's all like fun and games. Like mm-hmm. nothing is that serious in life. And like got me laughing at, you know, before 8 a.m. in the morning, even though I was feeling a little winded from doing some like running up the side of a hill as part of the workout. So I think just, and like being with like-minded people who are really positive, has also been really helpful, and really, really being around people who are really encouraging and supportive. I think especially from like the November Project tribe and other people I've met, in different cities has been really helpful towards my, fitness endeavors and my running.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's something that I think we can all get, sucked into if we're not careful of not having fun and not keeping it things light once in a while. And yeah, if you can be around other people that are having fun and you can crack some laughs and get a good workout in before, you know, before the sun comes up, or at least before 7:30, there's not a whole lot better way to start the day than something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So now shifting gears a little bit away from the running stuff, a little bit more, kind of some other stuff going on, talking about the blog, what was the cause for starting that? Because I know a lot of folks, and I'm sure you do as well, that, you know, start a blog or start something, start a podcast, YouTube channel, whatever, because it sounds like it's going to be fun. And then, you know, it's fun for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then it kind of, it just gets forgotten about. It gets lost in the tangles of the internets. But if I heard right, I mean, you've been doing this now for several years, kind of back to those first couple of half marathons. So what was the reason for starting it? And, you know, kind of as it continues to grow and evolve, you know, continuing to stay up with it.
Yeah, good question. I know it's funny because a lot of people, I mean, now it's become more of like influencer rather than blogger with all of like the social media different channels. But people are always like, that's really cool. Like I should do that. Or like, and I'm like, it's not as easy as you think. not that I think everybody should, I mean, if they want to try it, they should try it for sure. I started it after my first half marathon. I mean, posts were like pretty sporadic / I didn't know what I was doing at all. But I had, like I said, I didn't have any friends that ran and was doing all this like solo training. Mm-hmm. So, you know, age of the internet, I was like, well, let me see like what people are doing. So I ended up reading probably a handful of running blogs, like some of the, I guess, like bigger ones that have kind of lasted, like Run, Eat, Repeat and stuff like that, to just get like tips on training and gear and like what runners do, and also read like anecdotes and like about like race recaps and stuff. So after my first half marathon, which at the finish, it was like a pretty emotional experience for me. I decided that, you know, I had this like cool little journey that had just kind of started. So maybe some other people would benefit from hearing, you know, my race recaps and my story, since I liked reading other people so much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's free to start a blog. So I just started doing it, and it's kind of really grown from there. And I think it's really cool. The longer I ran, especially like in 2014, was like a big year for me, and big year, I think, with like blogging and starting to like see that this was a thing that was going to continue. Mm-hmm. It's just led to like a lot of opportunities with being ambassadors for brands and meeting other people. And it's also like a really nice way for me to have a lot of like race recaps and like kind of like, you know, time capsules of like how I was feeling or how certain races were, especially the more races I've done. Now I've done a lot, like sometimes they kind of blur together. So it's always nice for me to have, you know, some thoughts about that day or where I was or how I remember feeling on certain miles, kind of just on the internet, but more so for me. Mm-hmm. Plus I always like reading race recaps anyways. So that like started out as being like mostly what I talked about. And then I tried to get into like, you know, other stuff bloggers talk about, like tips for running and recipes and whatever. And I feel like now I've kind of like found my stride, and, you know, I don't need to be like everybody else, and that's fine. But I still really like writing and reading race recaps, especially if it's like a race I haven't run. I'll, you know, like Google and like find some race recaps and see some people's different perspectives, or, you know, if the start took a really long time, you know, some tips or whatever. So I think it's really, really enjoyable. It's kind of just a thing that's grown into this other crazy thing and has just like, I've met, it's mostly fun because of the opportunities and the mm-hmm. people I've met who were like fellow bloggers and now friends in real life.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's something that I think that, you know, if you're online a lot, whether, you know, whatever kind of medium it is, like I've found it with the podcast where it's like, you know, people that I've had a chance to chat with for an episode. And then when you're at the same race or, you know, if you're visiting somewhere on vacation that's nearby and you get a chance to meet up, it's like, it almost sounds crazy, except for those of us that have lived it, you know, like you really can develop a pretty good friendship from some back and forths on social media, comments on posts, things like that. And then when you do have the opportunity to meet up, it's like, it's like you've been friends forever almost.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's like sometimes like a weird thing to explain that like I've met people who are like actual real deal, real life friends
right.
Through the internet, or there's people that I feel like I'm friends with, even though we've maybe never actually hung out in person, or when you finally meet somebody in person. And it's always like a big relief when they actually feel the same as they feel online, because right. I've met some people before that I followed that I was just like, oh, you're like very different, which is like the tricky thing about the internet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I was saying, like Suze helped me out for the Chicago Marathon in 2016, and her and I have become like friendly. And like when I was out in Chicago, like I met up with her
right.
and stuff like that. So that's like really cool to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a neat dynamic and something that, you know, like I said, I think it's becoming a little bit more accepted or whatever that I'm trying to say there, mm-hmm. but it's cool when you're in it and you get to be a part of it. Back to the blog, where did the title come from?
I know people ask about this and I think it's a good choice. Also another like pro tip, if you're going to start a blog, like think about all this, like, well, because like if you're trying to like switch it, then like years later, mm-hmm. it may be difficult, or if you're stuck with like a Twitter handle. So I knew when I started the blog that I didn't want to pigeon myself into running. So in 2012, I'd ran my first half, but I was like, what if I'm not running forever? And then now I have this name, like, I don't know, Running and Pizza or something. Then I'm just like, I'm screwed now because I'm going to have to change this. And that's annoying. So I wanted it to be something that was a little bit more all encompassing. So Breathe Deeply and Smile is actually like, it was like a mantra of mine. Mm. Like I said, I deal with like some anxiety and just like getting worked up. So like taking a deep breath, and then the smile part's kind of like positive thinking.
Right.
And then I kind of came up with the tagline, Running Towards a Happy and Healthy Life, which kind of like shows people that it's like health and fitness focused. But I'm actually really, really happy with it. It's still a personal mantra and has probably even more so become it because I'm constantly typing those words out
right.
all the time in emails and on the internet. And I think it does kind of still encompass where I'm at here in 2018, even though I came up with it, you know, 6 years ago, which I think is really cool. And it kind of encompasses, you know, I can now on the blog, I do talk about still my training and my running and races, but also like other fitness things going on, just like things going on in Baltimore and just like trying to always stay positive mm-hmm. and chase that kind of like happy life that's still balanced with like, you know, my healthy hobbies and those positive health behaviors.
Yeah, what I like about it, and what I'm kind of hearing from what you had to say, is that it's something that it's nice to have a title that can grow and evolve with you. So, like you mm-hmm. said, as you know, even though the focus may or may not still be the same, as far as like what you're writing about the majority of the time, like you're free to kind of do it's your website, so you're free to do whatever you want anyway. But you really, you know, have given yourself the ability to kind of, like you said, touch on whatever topics are relevant at the time, and if running continues to be a focus of it, great. And if running kind of takes a slight backseat at some point to something else, like it's all about it's all, you know, breathe deeply and smile, like just relax, it's going to be okay, keep moving forward, and you're good to go. So I think it's a great title, but again, like I said at the beginning, kudos for shortening the Twitter handle a little bit, because that's it eats up a lot of characters if you're not careful.
I know. Well, yeah, that's the other thing. If you can have it nice and short and sweet, then it can fit all your social media handles.
All right. Well, as we're getting to the, to that point of kind of wrapping up a little bit today, Lauren, as you know, I like to end with something that I call a philosophical question. So, as I tell everybody, you know, it can be short and sweet, the answer. It can be something that takes us another 10 or 15 minutes to flesh out. And obviously anything in between is okay, but it's just a kind of an open-ended way to kind of wrap things up. And, I would just be curious, you know, in the, you know, 5-6 years that you've been pretty serious into running and blogging and being, you know, growing in the sport. Can you look at it a couple of ways, or one way that you can kind of maybe pinpoint, or at least you know, draw the conclusion that running has really led to a particular change? You know, as far as, you know, obviously you know time has changed, and you know, you finished grad school, and you know, there's a lot of other things that have gone on in your life in the time that you've been running. But are there any ways that you can look at running and go, wow, if I had never started running, I don't think that this, whatever it might be, would have happened, would have developed in your life in the way that it has?
Wow, that's a really good question. And like I said, I've been doing a lot of kind of self-reflection, just getting to Boston and crossing that big, you know, bucket list item off in the next couple weeks. I'm thinking about, you know, how this journey has been, you know, years now, and running is such an integral part of my life now. I think that one of the biggest things it has done has really increased my self-confidence. It's still something I really struggle with in multiple aspects of my life, personal, professional. But you know, like, I never feel like more of like a badass than when I complete a really hard workout or just like crush a race. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said earlier, that like running's always been something that's truly for myself, and started out as like something I want to do for myself and kind of like personal goals. And it still stayed that way. So I think, you know, being able to, you know, like I said, I never was one of those people that thought I would run a marathon, and now I've run 5, almost 6, mm-hmm. and have been the type of person to put myself out there on the internet in any way, or, you know, talk with people from brands and companies about opportunities and be ambassadors for companies and do crazy things like fly across the country to go run a Ragnar with a bunch of other Noon ambassadors I'd never met. These things that, you know, I would think I'd maybe be too introverted or, you know, not enough of a risk taker to do that kind of stuff. Running's kind of put that opportunity in my face and also encouraged me to, you know, own my own self-confidence and badassery and kind of be more open to taking advantage of like opportunities and making opportunities for myself.
Mm. I love it. And as is usually the case, I'm not going to try to muddy the waters. I think that's a great way to wrap it up. And I appreciate you being willing to share that and having that confidence to be able to do so. So guys, once again, breathedeeplyandsmile.com is the website, at Breathe Deeply and Smile on the Facebook and the Instagram, Twitter, Breathe Blog. And we'll have everything linked up, as you would imagine, in the show notes for this episode, disruns.com/558. If you want to grab any of those links, or anything else that we talked about, and connect with Lauren as well. So, Lauren, thank you, again for taking the time today. Really, really appreciate it. Like I said, this is going to actually air after Boston, but since we're obviously talking before that, have a great race, have a whole lot of fun. I'll be following along on social media and whatnot to see how it goes for you, but hope you have a great race. Good luck there. Have fun, like I said, and certainly nothing but the best going forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Lauren and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from today's episode. What was something from our conversation that we talked about that made you think a little bit, or made you start nodding your head, or whatever the case might be? What struck you from our conversation today? For me, it kind of was something that was mentioned in a couple different places, but it was the importance of making sure that things are fun. You know, whether it's running Boston like Lauren is planning, like Lauren has already done, like running Boston for fun instead of trying to race it, like doing the silly things at November Project, like she talked about. You know, I I think it's important that we have a little bit of joy in our lives. But also, which she did also mention, but was kind of more of a passing thing and something that I didn't dive in on as well, is the importance of just giving our minds a break. You know, if you're going to be someone who's serious about racing every race and running everything and trying to do all the things, that can just be mentally tiring. You know, if you're working on trying to Boston qualify, or maybe, you know, like Lauren had to do, and like so many of us, or, well, not so many of us because I'm not there, but so many of you have had to do in the past, is not only Boston qualify, but then work on knocking your time down enough so that it's actually a good enough qualifying time that you can make it to your race or PR or whatever it is. You've got this big goal that you're right at the cusp of, and you've been working at for one cycle, two cycles, you know, three cycles. You start getting into a year and a half, 2 years of dedicated and focused training. It can be a really good thing to just kind of back off of that for just a second. Give your mind a break. Give yourself a training cycle to just do something, to run a different race, to tackle a different goal, to do something, to just do something for fun. Just to give your mind that little bit of a break, because after months and months and sometimes, you know, years and years of chasing that same goal and not quite getting there, you know, your mind can just be fried from that singular focus. And by taking the focus off of that one target, off of that BQ or that PR or whatever it is, you take your mind off of that, and all of a sudden you just start to find the joy that creeps back into the sport. And you might also just find that you take a big leap forward after that, because you just gave yourself, your mind, a little bit of a break, a little bit of chance to recover. So my big takeaway is just that reminder that, you know, it's okay to be serious. It's okay to be focused on a big goal, but we also need to try to find ways to have some fun and have a little bit of a break mentally as well. Both in running and probably in other areas of life as well. So that was my takeaway. What about you? What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And you can always head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode. Leave your comments, feedback, suggestions, thoughts, takeaways there as well. And for this episode, DizRuns.com/558. And you can leave your feedback there, what you thought, and we'll kind of take it from there. And obviously then those comments live on for perpetuity. And so others can see what you had to say when they stumble upon this episode months and years down the road. It's a cool way to keep the conversation going. So DizRuns.com/558 for today's episode's show notes. And with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Once again, just thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for supporting. Thanks for, the notes and the tweets and the emails and all the things. I really do appreciate it. And I know I don't thank you necessarily enough. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do for me. It keeps me going, and hopefully you'll keep listening, right? But that's it for today. Again, thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the day. Happy running, happy miles, whatever the case might be for you when you're listening to this. Enjoy yourself. Be well. Take care, and we'll talk soon. See you guys. Mm-hmm.